So if you go to Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5 through 8, it says in here, "For think this within you, which mind was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, having become in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, having become obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." And as I read that, I thought to myself, I was going, you know, this is awesome right here, because Christ was born, Christ was created by God. He was God. He sat down at the right hand. He had a throne up in heaven. But in order to come here to earth, he had to give up his throne completely. Completely give it up. To empty, it says in the scripture there in the verse 7, it says that he had to empty himself. That doesn't mean that, you know, he had to go to the restroom or anything like that. He completely devoided himself of everything he had. That means he gave up everything. And so I wanted to try something this morning. I wanted to see who would feel comfortable with this. Who would not mind volunteering to be part of my guinea pig this morning? Just for any reason at all. Good. I'm going to use my mom, because you can always pick on your mom. Okay. And No, you still get to sit down. All you have to do, yeah, it's a real easy, and Barbara, I'm going to pick on you a little bit too. Okay. Oh, you're welcome. So, first thing I'd like to have both of you ladies do is give me your purses. No purse? Okay. I'd like to have your jewelry. This will make sense. Okay, we'll leave that one. Mom, your turn. Are you starting to feel uncomfortable yet? And then the last person I'll pick on is my own wife. Honey, can I have your purse? Yes. Can I have the other bags? I know. Can I have your other bags that you have down there? Oh, one last thing. Do you have your rings on? Your watch? Your notebook? Your pen? See, now I know my wife well enough. If this is outside of 2 foot of her realm, she's feeling very uncomfortable. I only did that because all I did was temporarily take a few things from you that make part of you. True? I took jewelry that we've acquired. I took the shirt off your back. I took the things that you're used to having around you. Your things that make you feel and have you start, it's part of who you are. Because we all have those things, correct? We have those things that we keep around us all the time because they're kind of like our security blankets. Notice I didn't try to take my granddaughter's security blanket. I wanted to keep it quieter in church. Now I want you to picture what Jesus gave up. He gave up that throne. He gave up that existence with the Father. He got down off of that throne. He devoided himself of every pleasure that he was by lawful right given, no longer to be served as a god, no longer to be worshipped, but to come into the form of a little tiny child. The story that reminded me of it in the Bible, and it still doesn't even come close to making a good comparison, is found in the book of Mark. And it's the story of the rich man that asked, "Lord, what do I have to do to be forgiven?" It says in chapter 10, verse 17 through 23, he says, and Christ is talking about after having gone out into the highway, running up and down and kneeling down before him, this man said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? For no one is good except God. For you know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother, your father." And answering, he said to the teacher, he says, "I've observed all these things ever since my youth." But looking at him, Jesus loved him and said, "One thing is lacking to you. Go, sell what you have and give it to the poor. Here's where my story's connected. Jesus didn't sell what he had. Jesus emptied himself of everything he had. And Jesus didn't give it just to the poor. There were no poor in heaven. Jesus laid it down so that anybody who would choose to pick up whatever he had could pick it up. You and me. He says, one thing is lacking you. Go and sell the things that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Take up the cross. And being sad at the word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And having looked around, Jesus said to his disciples, how hardly those having riches will enter into the kingdom of God. We get so wrapped up in the things that we have, thinking that maybe those things are the things that define us. Those are the things that give us our identity. I could have really pushed Artie through a tough one this morning. I could have taken the keys to the brand new truck. And she would have been like, I haven't even made my first payment. But that rich man, he couldn't give up everything that he had. Yet Jesus had already done that. I never really put these two stories together. You see, because Jesus came to this earth so that you can have eternal life. Did he not? I mean, you think about Christianity. Christianity is the only religion whereby the major God is completely humiliated. He's no longer seen as a God amongst people. He is seen but a poor man, a child born to the lowest denominator. You would think that if God would come to earth, in our human terms, we would think, well, he would have to be born into a royal family, would he not? He would have to have a golden spoon. He would have to sit on a throne. He would have to have servants. But he came to this mother and father that were betrothed at the time. We're not even married yet. And so before he even comes into this world, he is considered to be a bastard. Is he not? He is unliked and unwanted long before he even gets to this world. He comes with absolutely nothing. Born into a family with absolutely nothing. Why? And he died with what? Absolutely nothing. He laid it all down because his father said, you want eternal life? Give it all away. He gave us the example to the rich man. He says, you want eternal life? Give it all away. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Come, follow me. And the man couldn't do it. All he was showing him what to do was to do exactly what Jesus had already done. How many times we think about going to work for somebody and they say, well, you know, they tell us to do this, but they're not willing to do it themselves. True? But Jesus did everything that he told us to do. He told us to completely devoid or to deny ourselves of the luxuries of life if we need to. It doesn't mean that you can't have them, but you can't have them be the most important part of your life. God's humiliation began the day he was born. Even though we celebrate the manger scene, they didn't even give him a room to be born in. He had to be born with animals. You think about this story of the blessed birth. Who here would like to have been born under those circumstances? I don't think I would have. I mean, today we would think, well, what if there's complication? Who's going to perform the emergency C-section? You can't do that in a stable. We think that he just comes to earth and it's just beautiful bed of roses the whole time for him. The first thing the parents have to do is get up and flee to Egypt. Now, moms, how strong were you right after you had your child? Did you feel like getting up and hopping on a donkey and going to another country? You don't even want to go down and go grocery shopping, do you? You want your husband to go do that for you. I just got home with this child. I'm not even getting any sleep yet. And you've got this brand new baby. But he came down. He started with the birth and ended with his resurrection. He gave up. He restrained his omnipotence in the form of human flesh. He confined his ability to have omniscience by the limitations of what our own mind can give. And he even gave up his ability to be at all places at all times, the omnipresence, to be able to serve in one body in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. Instead of coming to and having servants, he came to be a servant. Remember the story in the upper room when Christ gets up and takes off his robe, and takes off and reaches down and starts washing the feet of his servants, of his disciples? He says, of those that want to be first must become last. And Jesus definitely was last. He was a king that decided to become a slave. The ultimate in descent and undressing is that he humbled himself to go up to the cross. So why did he do it? Why would he do it? Because lest he came down, we could go up. He descended so that we can ascend. He served so that we could become royalty. He became sin so that we can obtain righteousness. He died so that we could live. There is no love greater than what was born that morning. When we think about gifts that we can give, truly think about what the Father gave to us. He gave us a son who said, "Yes, Dad, I'll give up everything I have. I'll give up everything I am so that they can have it all." He knew his dad would reinstate him. It's kind of like the prodigal son. You know, we think about the prodigal son and how he went away and, you know, and he's put back into graces with the father. But you really think about it, all the father really did was give him a ring and throw him a big party. But God gave Jesus even more. See, because God did, or Jesus didn't run away to squander his inheritance. He didn't empty his inheritance. He didn't empty who he was to go fulfill his own personal needs. Jesus didn't come to this world to say, "I came so that you might worship me, and you will worship me." He came so that you can be saved. And what a strange way to do it, in the form of a little tiny child. Defies any imagination that we have, doesn't it? Any way of logic or reason that he sent this little tiny child down 2014 years ago to become our Savior, to give again to us the things, to reunite us, our spirits, with the Father. For that had been long gone since the Garden of Eden, when they sinned in the garden. To allow our spirit to come back to life. Praise the Lord.